The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Pull, bank, head shot, sit down, stand up, bank, pass out, bank, wake up, bank, baby, bank, wake up, bank, baby, bank, pull, bank, head shot, sit down, stand up, bank, pass out, bank, wake up, bank, baby, bank.
Hey, wine hoes, what's up? How you doing? I hope that you guys have had a wonderful week. When you are hearing this, it shall be Wine Crush Wednesday. Hopefully, spring will have sprung in your neck of the woods and you're no longer locked in due to the snow or inclement weather. I am so lovely, also known as Sadiddy Snack. And I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, the bitch who be running, Deasia Ali. Say what's up, D.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Y'all listening to another episode of Bad and Boozy Podcast. This is the Jordan episode. This is episode 23.
Oh, shit.
2-3.
This is old crusty, crotchety ass.
Oh, this is the old cheese eyes episode. So gather around. Grab your glass, grab your bottle, and join us as we're about to get into this. And you know how we like to start our show off by uncorking our recent shenanigans. So, Deasia, what's been popping on your side?
Let me see. Well, right here and right now, I'm is a little tired because my old ass decided, well, I won't even say old because I don't even use that reference for myself because I'll be out here. But, you know what I'm saying, recovering from hanging out ain't the same as it used to be. So, I hung out in these little D.C. streets last night. Had a couple, 2-3 drinks, maybe 4. I don't think I needed that 4th one, but I think I literally lost count. So, I was thinking I only drank 3. But then I thought, when I checked my account this morning, I was like, oh, no, I had 4 drinks. That's why I was a little bit extra tipsy getting in the house last night. And I'm like, so I'm counting like, all right, if I go out next time, 3 drinks, dude. That's all we need to get. That 4th one, it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
I was out here drinking that bourbon. I was drinking bourbon and ginger beer. And then, like, the last one, I was like, oh, just give me that Maker's Mark straight. And I'm like, oh, yeah. But anyway, I think I lost count, too, because we went to 2 bars, and I forgot that I had a drink at the first bar. I was like, dang. But anyway, I had a good little time. And what else I do this week? Mm-hmm. Being an adult. Let me see. I got my head in. Oh, I'm going to get my exercise back on. We're going to work on a diet this week coming, though, because, you know, I ain't quite there yet. But I did do some shopping today, and I bought 2 of my pairs of jeans, like, the size that they supposed to be, and I got a little extra muffin top, so that gave me a little motivation to get. And I was like, look, I buttoned them up. But this is not how they supposed to fit. So a bitch going to make sure she work out and eat right the next couple weeks so I can fit the jeans the way they supposed to fit. Mm-hmm. And then after we, by the time the next show comes, I got a whole ass 10K in the morning.
A whole ass 10 motherfucker.
I haven't run much, but luckily, I don't know, I'm able-bodied and healthy enough that I'll get across the finish line. It won't be no records. Might not go too fast. I'm going to make sure I stretch and stuff. But this is our, this is the Clyde's 10K in Columbia, Maryland. Clyde's is a restaurant, a chain restaurant we have out this way. It's pretty good.
What they got?
Yeah, it's mostly like American type food, but I know like they got like really good like they got really good happy hour. And I know, and I've done the race. Since I've been running, this will be the 5th consecutive year that I did this particular race.
Okay.
So, this is, like, one of my favorite ones to do. And then, my favorite thing is my girlfriend who does it with me mostly every year. They have, like, at the end of a typical, like, 5K, 10K, they be having, like, protein bars and shit like that and fruit and stuff. This race has all of that, your sodas, but then energy drinks and water. But they also got, like, a little mini buffet. So, you get, like, a little, maybe, like, chili and pasta salad. And then the little restaurant next door has, like, pizza. So, they like, donate like pizza, and then it's like a beer thing at the end. And that's when this race, the first time I discovered like how I already like beer, but how much more refreshing beer is after you ran 6 miles. Okay. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a nice little scenery. It's like ends on like a lake or whatever. So I'm getting into those shenanigans, and I've been looking forward to that. But other than that, ain't much been popping, but I guess that is enough.
That's enough.
Well, I am looking forward to, in the coming weeks and months as we're recording, the beer garden next to my job. It never closed down in the winter, but now since it's like nice outside, it'd be like more popping, and just like on my way to the train, popping in, see what's going on in the beer garden, hang out. So get some of them boozy shenanigans going on.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
And how have you been?
I've been good. Today was the last day at my old job, first week at my new job. So it was busy. A bitch was booked.
Because a nigga ain't get. I'm used to talking to you all throughout the week, and I'm like, we ain't barely said a few words to each other.
I know. I'm still trying to get settled in and all that stuff. Had some more train shenanigans. I had an hour delay. So normally it takes me about 45 minutes to get home. It took me an hour and 45 minutes one day. So by the time I got home, I was like, you know what? I need some wine because this was the longest day ever. So I went and I got some wine. I put them in my new glasses that somebody got me for my birthday. So I was like super excited about that. And as soon as I tasted it, I was like, ooh, I don't know if it's the wine that's good or the glass that makes it taste this good. I'm like,
Is that what you're reviewing today?
You know, I'm reviewing something different. I did make a review and post it on Delectable, so it is up there. I got a Moscato. I'm feeling Moscato-y these days because I guess that's the only real sweetness I'm getting since I'm doing green juices and salads. Other than the two times this week I had McDonald's fries for dinner. Don't judge me, judge your mama. Because I am an emotional eater. So when I'm having a rough day, then fries is my go-to. You're lucky it ain't nothing bad. So, and it still fits in my macros because I make sure that I've still been walking, I've still been drinking my water, and I'm doing my green juice so I have a little extra wiggle room. So I'm still staying under my 1,200 calories for the day. So, and under my 100 carbs for the day. Even with the wine, I've been really good at tracking that. So, and I did have lost 11 pounds since the beginning of the month. So,
hey, kudos. That's my plan for next week.
Kudos to me. I was looking in the mirror today and the back fat is almost gone. I said, bitch.
Yeah.
They ain't going to be ready by the time summer rolls around. And they really ain't going to be ready when I go to Mexico later this year. I'm just saying. I'm going to be looking like a basket full of snakes. What you talking about? So,
I know that's right.
Yeah. Then I had some foolishness with my attic. I thought there were some birds in there and couldn't find out it wasn't birds. It was a family of raccoons, and they keep me up at night with their scratching and clawing and noise making, and they refuse to leave. So we have devised a plan to get rid of them, shall we say. I'm not gonna say exactly what it is, but trust and believe they shall be gone in a few days. So
I know that's right.
Bye, coons. You can't stay here. I ain't got enough room for y'all, so y'all got to get.
Not bye, coons.
And coons got to go, man. And coons got to go. So, man, basically, and I had a funeral service today for a church member. And those are always interesting, especially when we don't have them at our church. We have them at sometimes if the service is like going to be really, really big and more than what our church can hold, we have it at a sister church. So we had it there, and how do I say it? Not every church is your home church, granted. But then sometimes when you visit other churches, you're really like, oh, this church is old. Because the chairs was old, the microphone system was old, just everything was old. And I'm like, oh my God, like, the acoustics were terrible, but, you know, we still sounded good because we is who we is. But at the same time, I'm everybody who got up to speak, they sounded like they had an echo. So I really couldn't understand what they were saying. And it was some drama, y'all. It was some drama. They said, you know, there were 6 people on program to speak. Everybody had 2 minutes each. Please respect the family. First guy got up and he was like, yeah, I know they said that there's 2 minutes, but I'm going to be longer than that. I'm like, what?
What?
And then after he was done, Pastor came back up and was like,
why
okay.
You can't just respect the rules?
Yeah.
Though?
Same thing. Pastor came up, was like, okay, y'all, it is 2 minutes. The family asked that it's 2 minutes because there's other things that they have to do today. So please keep it to 2 minutes. So then, you know, the next person goes up and speaks and he's cool. And then this lady comes up and she starts talking, and then they realize that she's not even on the program. She like just she just jumped out there, and then the pastor was like, wait, you know, there's other people on the program that we got to get to first. And somebody else in the audience was like, this is his sister, this is his sister. But the widow of the person who is deceased is just looking down like, oh my God, like, obviously, if she wanted you to be on program, she would have put you on program. You ain't on program for a reason. So they let the other people go first, and then they let her come up, and she was just rambling, and I was like, God. I just kept thinking, when I pass, I don't want nobody to get up and speak. Just, it's because it's going
to
be some mess.
It's so weird how people feel like so entitled to a person's space, even in their death.
Yeah. Like, if when I was alive, you speaking to me is enough. You don't have to speak to everybody and say how you felt and this and that and the other. Uh-uh. Let your actions speak for themselves. And so if you feel, you just feel pressed to the point where you ain't on program and you got to bogart your way onto the program, that kind of says something about you. So I was like,
It do. It normally say that it's performative. Like, you must not, you ain't really that close to the person, because if you was, that person died knowing that.
Yeah, they that's exactly what they meant. So I was like, okay, whatever. But it was brief. The service was brief. It was nice. Bishop almost took them to church. I shouted a couple times. I was like, yes, sir. And then some people was like, Bishop, take your time. That's it. That's it. And I was like, oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness. It's nothing like at a black church when the word is good. And they be like, take your time. Take your time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, shit, we might be in hell.
Like, he's preaching. He's preaching. I'm like, but it's a homecoming service. He shouldn't be preaching. You know, it's a eulogy.
Oh, yeah. Some of the eulogies, they do turn into a fallout. Like, dang, is it Sunday?
Yeah. I started. They started getting happy during praise when we were singing praise and worship, too. I was like, oh, this is really going to turn into a church service. But, you know, he's been in church all his life. His widow actually works with me in one of the ministries that I'm over. She's heavily involved in the church. Part of the fellowship that I'm a part of, like the International Tears of Leadership, sent somebody to represent them. They also sent like a letter, you know, expressing their condolences and stuff. So it was a pretty big funeral. And he actually used to play professional football, and he went to UCLA. So like some of his teammates got up and spoke. And so it was a really nice service. But this was someone who gave back to the community, invested in the lives of young men of color, and was really about that service life. So it was really good to see, and I felt inspired. Like, you know, I feel like I need to do more. I need to make more of an imprint on the people that are coming behind me. So I felt motivated, but then I bet you as soon That's as good. I see somebody back talk they mama, I'm like, I ain't got it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I love the I like the kids, but I love them from a distance. You know what I'm talking about? So we'll see, maybe when they get a little bit older. But yeah, it was a good service, and you know what? Despite the drama, it worked out. I did not go to the repass because I don't like doing repasses, man. They be taking too long, and then you rarely get to see the people who you came to see anyway, because they always being bothered
by
the
people.
Especially
when it's a big family like that.
Yeah,
you ain't gonna be able to see the people.
So I figured, you know what?
I typically don't do the repass unless it's my own family.
Yeah. So, and they said it was a private family repass, but then afterwards they came and told, okay, the choir, you guys are invited. So I was like, I was like, you know what? I know this person.
They always do normally want to feed the choir, though.
Yeah, I was like, I'm vegetarian. They ain't going to have nothing for me. I mean, I don't want to take nobody else's spot. It's going to be parking issues. I was like, you know what? I would just love on her from a distance. I did my job. I came. I sang. I texted her. I talked to her. So the important part is not necessarily what you do at the funeral, but it's what after everybody has gone home and started living their lives, and when the person is still in grief and processing that, it's important to be with them in those quiet moments, and in those moments when they really need somebody after everybody's gone away. So I'm going to make it a point to be there for her during that season. So
you ain't lying. That's when they really need it.
Yeah, man. Shoot. Yep. So that was, and I got some news yesterday that somebody else I knew passed away, 47 of a heart attack. So it's been an interesting week, but you know what? I am still here. It's by the grace of God. And we're about to get into this sip and spit because we've been drinking, y'all. So
We've been drinking.
So allow us to get into the portion where we do our wine reviews. And this is what we call sip or spit. So I hear you pouring over there. What are you going to be reviewing?
Hey, I was trying to do a little effect.
Yep. So what you got to review today?
Okay. So I have a review. And it is one of the bottles of wine, one of the many bottles of wine I got for my birthday. It's from a brewery called Walnut City Wine Works. It's in Oregon, I believe. And the wine I have is a 2013 Pinot Gris. And first I was like, yeah, I have Pinot Gris. And then I was like, oh, damn it, it's the Pinot Gris show. It's the same thing. Yeah, same thing. Same grape. But I was like, hold up, I done had Pinot Grigio, but it skipped my mind for a minute until I actually tasted it. And it's in the area called, I thought it was funny. I opened the bottle, I think yesterday or the day before, and I only took a little sip. But today when I drank it some of it the other day, but I just realized today that it's from the Willamette Valley, and then
Willamette.
But I'm gonna say Willamette because I like to say it sound close to my little brother named William. So I took a picture when I was reviewing it in my delectable. I took a picture of the label and I sent it to both my brothers and said, "So who's naming my next niece Willamette to Willamette? Because we're gonna call her Willamette,
Willie May,
William, Willie May." I said, because my best friend Devin always called Will a diva, he always called him Wilhelmina. And I was like, well, this is another option.
Okay.
And they like, so how about you have the baby and name our niece that? I was like, but anyway, so that was fun. But anyway, so I'm here to tell y'all this wine, it was not my favorite. It was actually a little disappointing.
Aww.
I like a Pinot Grigio. I drank it in like the first taste. I thought I was drinking gravel.
Wow.
And but sometimes when you have like a shocking flavor, I'll try it, and like, you know, you, it might, after a couple sips or a glass or so, it might grow on you. So the first night when I tasted it, I was like, that's a little strong, a little pungent. I was like, I don't know. But I was like, let me put it down. Maybe my brain will rewire. So I tried it again today. And all the things that I like about it is like, it's pretty. it smells good. I don't really like the taste. It's not really for me, but it's like, what did I put? It's like a little bit too minerally.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely got like some melon taste, but it almost tastes like maybe the melon. I don't know if the melon not quite ripe, if it's the rind of the melon and not the fruit or something. But something, I've been trying to pinpoint for days what it was that I didn't like about it. But I just know I really didn't care for it. And what was the other thing? It's a 2013 vintage. It's 12.13% alcohol. I'm not 100% sure of the price because I said it was a gift, but a Pinot Gris, I'm assuming it was around between the $10 and $15 range because my friends did get it in like a mix and match type of wine situation. But I don't know, it was a little bit too minerally for me. It was like really strong. I don't know, maybe it's citrus? I don't know. Maybe, yeah. But it lingered, like, way too long. Maybe if that finish didn't hang around so long, I probably could have, like, tolerated it. But that extra, like, puckery, that, I didn't like it. So, but, this is the first time I had anything from this winery, of course. Like, I was like, I'm going to drink it because it was free and it was 12%. But I like drink a little bit the other day, then a little bit the next day, then a little bit. And I was like, I couldn't just like drink it. Like I didn't, at no point did I have like two glasses back to back. Cause it was a little bit too much, but I did look on the website for Walnut City Wine Works. And I thought it was cool that the winery itself is in a historic, the Walnut City has been Walnut City is the name. It has been crafting wines in our historic McMinnville Winery that was formerly the walnut processing facility. So that's where they get the Walnut City name from.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmers is like two homies, basically, who like a couple years ago met over their love for wine and shit. And then they just decided to like grow some grapes and shit in the Willamette. We're going to figure out the right way to pronounce that.
Just say Willie May.
Willie May. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd be like, Willamina. So I thought that was cool. Like, they got a cute little backstory. And I saw some other stuff on their website. So, I mean, they got about 23 different varieties. So, if I come across them again, I would try another one. But I was like, and I normally like Pinot Grigio. So, but this Pinot Gris, I'm like, no, it's not for me. But, like, the smell, the taste, the color, because, like, it's really cute, like, palish, coppery color. But, I wouldn't just pick this up to just, like, enjoy. So, that's going to be a spit. A spit. Like, I was like, I can't even pretend that I like this one.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes it bees like that. Well, for me today, because spring is here, it is warm mm-hmm. outside, and I felt like I needed something white, and like I said, I've been in a Moscato mood, so I went ahead and, based on a conversation that you and I have had, and also I think that when Karen was on the show, she mentioned that she liked the cupcake wines, so...
Yeah.
I went ahead and I pulled the trigger, and I bought this cupcake Moscato, and, let me see. When I smell it... It smells like straight alcohol, kind of like a rubbing alcohol kind of taste, smell. Then when I tasted it, the first thing that came to my mind was like canned peaches or those peach rings. So it's kind of like an artificial sweetness. It is very, very, very sweet. It's like sweet, like syrup sweet. Normally, when I taste Moscatos that are sweet like this, they're not usually this sweet, but they're also a little bit... bubbly, so they have a little bit of light effervescence, which kind of mellows out the flavor. In this case, it does not. It's just like straight. It's like you ever get those like fruit cups when you were a kid, but like when you drink the juice, that's what this tastes like.
They being served.
Yeah, tastes like straight to zerp. It is 9.5% alcohol, which is pretty high for a Moscato.
Moscato.
Yeah, so something tells me that it's not only Moscato grapes, musket grapes that are in this particular wine. When I read Probably. It, it says that the wine shows sweet and delicate aromas of honey, nectarines, and hints of wildflowers. There is no floral notes in this. Delectable flavors of luscious peach, ripe apricot, and juicy melon lead into a creamy mid-palate, followed by a soft, lingering finish. Smooth and delightfully refreshing. It's reminiscent of a peaches and cream cupcake. I can't say that I taste a peaches and cream cupcake. It just literally tastes like peach candy, like peach syrup. It just tastes artificial. And even though I like a good peach flavor because, you know, it's ripe, it's fruity, it gives me, you know, vibes of summer and things like that. This ain't for me. I don't know if it's my palate that is refining or just maybe that this is too sweet, but this is really, really, really sweet, y'all.
It's too sweet.
Yeah, like candy. So this is definitely a spit for me. I don't like it. I can't really enjoy it because the only thing that I taste is that artificial flavor.
It's like I'm drinking sugar.
Yeah, it's like drinking liquid sugar. The best part of this is the finish because the finish is light. It doesn't linger on the tongue a lot. It is mm-hmm. juicy, but it just feels like you're just drinking peach syrup. Like, literally, like that syrup that they use to make cocktails. That's what this tastes like.
So you're just saying just pour some simple syrup in your mouth.
Yeah, like I kind of like want to put water in it or ice in it or something else to like dilute it because it's just so sweet. It's not...
I don't know if I've had that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm probably going to have a headache after this because it's so sweet. It's just not enjoyable. And I did enjoy the, I think that it was the cupcake Riesling that I had. That was enjoyable. It was a mild sweetness to it. There were still notes of peach and there was notes of green apple. But this, I barely tasted the apricot in the finish. There was no melon. There was no honey. There was no nectarine. There was no wildflower. It was just all peach. And I can see how maybe someone would like it as an introductory wine if they've never tried wines before or they want to try something out, you know. But for as for me and my mouth, I never want this again. Like, never. I don't care if it's Italian. It just ain't for me. This tastes like mass-produced wine. This, like, should come out of a box, not a bottle. Like, literally, it should be in a box. Like, when you think of boxed wine, this is what you would think of. I wouldn't think that this would necessarily come out of a bottle. I'm kind of disappointed because I've heard good things about Cupcake in general. But,
I mean, I guess they can't hit the mark on all the grapes.
Nah, so I'm just going to stick with my cheap wine, my cheap Moscatos. I'm just going to stick with my Yellowtail because they don't. I'm actually pouring this back in the bottle.
I don't think I've ever had Moscato Yellowtail. Ooh. When I think of Cupcake, though, I either think of that one of their red blends, or I do like their Prosecco.
Okay.
One of the nail salons I go to in Baltimore serves their Prosecco, and it was pretty good.
Prosecco, we like that Prosecco.
We like that ho.
Yes,
but yeah.
This week it's been two thumbs down across the board, man.
Two thumbs down. I was disappointed. It's a pretty label and stuff. Walnut City. I was like, oh, maybe I'm gonna try this, but I'm like, nah. The pungency taste, because I'm drinking. I'll save the last of it to drink while. Right before we record, so I could kind of like remember. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking at it like, nah, it tastes like old mop water.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cold.
Yeah, that's the benefit.
Back in the day, yeah. When your grandmama had the real big bucket, and that mop water was dirty. Like, nah, this, I imagine this is exactly what that water tastes like.
Probably, yeah. And my review is already on Delectable, and probably by the time this episode airs, Dee's review of her wine will be on Delectable as well. So if you want more,
I put it up right before we started. So
yeah. So if you want more in-depth information about what we said, yeah, you gave, ooh, girl, you scored yours pretty low. I did score mine low, too.
And I thought about it. I said, oh, this is the lowest I've ever scored it. And I like the little thing on there when you slide it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
When I kept going down, the face changed. And I was like, yep, that's the face I made. So let me leave it right here.
Okay.
First I went all the way to the end and said, what's the lowest I could give it? All right, it ain't the worst, but I was like, let me go up a little bit. Yep, that's the face I made.
Yep, so that was Sip or Spit for this week. Let us know if you have tried these wines before and what your thoughts are on them. And tell us if you like Pinot Grigio and give us a good referral, or if you have a good referral for Moscato. Hopefully it's not Blue Bottle.
Yeah, but the one thing I did want to add about this one, like, if I saw it, I wouldn't buy it, but, like, if I would consider buying, when I was scrolling on the website and it was looking at our wines, the ones that they have up now are the 2017 vintages, and my bottle is the 2013. So, and they did mention some slight changes in the process, so I wonder if any other subtleties with the grapes in the different years could make a difference if I had, like, one of the newer ones, like, so. I would keep that in mind, but my first reaction would be like, not interested. But I did notice that the grapes, that when I read about it on their website, it was the more current vintage, and that I had the older one.
Okay. Yeah, mine was pretty old, too. Mine is a 2013, so.
Yeah.
And that may have had an impact on it for white wine. I really doubt it, but, you know, you never know.
The only thing I think it could, and it might not have make it much better, but it might have changed, because they said something about how early they picked the grapes one year, and then they was talking about one year the like how it was like a lot less rain or whatever. So I was like, you never know. Now if I actually pay attention close enough to try it again, I doubt it. But but that is something to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go. So, as you guys know, or if you don't know, you gon' know, that Sip or Spit is a sponsored part of the show, and this week, Sip or Spit is sponsored by the wonderful people over at Audible. So, join us and allow me to introduce you to the wonders of Audible.
Yeah. They ain't gonna like it. They ain't gonna like me. I been getting to the money. Everybody mad. I think I'm getting too much money. Everybody mad. Same old nigga from the block. Same old nigga with the pot. The same old nigga from the trap. Everybody. lot of bitches that was taken. So I shut the niggas up, bitches feeling us. I was new that I was sick, so I had to stay patient. Taking over summer, nigga, tell me what's the bid. Heard you still cuffing, nigga, tell me what it is. You ain't paying no bills, buying no bags, buying no heels. Goddamn, let a bitch live. All I see is 20s, 50s, 100s. If it ain't quarter meal, fuck the whip. I don't want it, about to make these niggas sick to the stomach. I be getting to the money. Everybody mad. I think I'm getting too much money. Everybody mad.
For the listeners of the Bad and Boozy podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. There's a couple of books that are on there. Ta-Nehisi Coates, Between Me and the World, is on there. As we mentioned before, the autobiography of Gucci is on there.
Gucci. I think I saw it today on Twitter that the Four Agreements was up there.
Hey, the Four Agreements. Oh, that should be on there. If you like horror or sci-fi, Star Wars and Star Trek are on there as well. So if you want to get ready, you know, before Star Wars comes out, that Lando, even though it's not called Lando, we calling it that Lando movie. And also, yeah, there's are a few pro wrestling books on there. And I mentioned that because I saw that, what's his name, Jerry Lawler had a stroke a couple of weeks ago while he was having sex with his wife. So I don't know.
Was that one of the announcers?
Yeah. The one that wears the crown, the king.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so if he has an autobiography, that might be on there. And then, you know, some of our faves are on there. Issa Rae's book, The Misadventures of the Awkward Black Girl, and Hunger, a memoir by Roxane Gay, who you may know her from writing The World of Wakanda. That's on there as well. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/the CSPN. Again, that is audibletrial.com/the CSPN for your free audiobook. So I encourage y'all to do that. Shout out to our homie Andre, who's been reading like a book a week. He's been going through Malik
books. He's been reading.
Yeah.
Him and his little baby been going to the library. Yeah. And getting books and shit. So, I was like, oh, ain't just cute.
Yeah, so shout out to all of those of you guys who are book lovers. What's the word for book lovers? What's the Italian word for book? I know it's something fine.
I don't know. I feel like I knew this before. Then somewhere along the line,
I know,
I was slacking in my book loving area.
I love books. Shout out to everybody who got me a book for my birthday. I really appreciate that.
I've just been horrible in recent years of reading it, but like the first quarter century of my life, I was always glued to a book. I'm gonna do better.
It's bibliophile. Always. I should have known that. So shout out to the bibliophiles out there.
Oh, right. That's so predictable now that I think about it.
Bibliophile. Shout out to the bibliophiles. So but the show topic of this week, we kind of touched on it last week. We talked about it on other shows in different aspects. Yeah. But this week, we're going to discuss the aging of wine, the process of aging, what the difference between a young wine and new wine and aged wine, why it may be important or may not be important to you, and the differences between aging the actual barrels that wine is aged in. So... let's see there.
So previously when we discussed it, we kind of hinted on it from the perspective of we're going to buy this bottle. And like, in one of these articles, if we're not going to refer to it specifically tonight, but kind of refers to like, if you buy this bottle, keep it this many years, so it can age this many years or whatever. So now we kind of like backing up to when a wine is being aged in the wine making process.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. And one of the things that kind of brought this topic, other than, you know, our general knowledge and curiosity, another thing that brought this topic to mind was I don't know if I was scrolling Twitter or Instagram or something, and I came across an event that was like a barrel tasting.
Ooh.
And I was like, what is a barrel? I was like, what is a barrel tasting? And I was like, I mean, obvious in my mind, I'm like, well, obviously it got something to do with the wine coming out the barrels. But then that's when I Googled and I learned that, of course, a winery or vineyards, they'll, when they're aging the wine in the barrels, they'll taste it periodically to see if it's like where, you know, where the level's at, where they want it to be, and pick up some of the notes that we're going to discuss tonight. And typically that's just done by the winery itself, but some of the wineries will invite the public in So instead of your typical wine tasting, then we're going to open these bottles and taste them or pair them with dinner or snacks or whatever. You get to, like, there's no food and stuff involved. It's just, like, tasting it before it's even out for production. Bottled for distribution. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I might keep an eye on it and see if any of the my local wineries do anything like that. Maybe with my little wine pass, maybe I can hop in on one of those events. So I thought that was cool. So our articles tonight kind of go into, like, how the barrels, like, affect the taste of the wine and all that other good stuff.
Hey.
So where we want to start? We want to start with that first wine? The wine for our friends over at Wine Folly, that blog. Mm-hmm. I love this blog. I've been out here reading my book, y'all.
Yes.
A bitch had the highlighter tonight. I highlighted some of my little stuff that I was coming across. Like, oh, okay, let me remember that. This old girl, okay. I feel like this is legit. I wasn't joking when I said it's like my Bible. This is a textbook. This is my book. I can write in this bitch.
It really is.
I like shit.
It really is like a good textbook. It's really like a companion piece to your own wine learning experience. It's good to go by and refer to. So yeah, if y'all haven't got the Wine Folly book,
you gotta get it. Like, I know I waited and I was bullshitting, but I could even tell based on your references. I was like, I gotta make sure I get this book. And even just sitting when I was drinking the Pinot Grigio, it was like some of the stuff I was thinking, and I was like, oh, let me look it up in this book and, like, read a little bit. And I was like, oh, look. And the mere fact that I'm always been a good student, so the mere fact that I'm reading, my first thought was to get my sticky notes and my highlighter, let me know that, oh, this, we out here.
Yeah.
Like, we is out here. Mm-hmm. If I ever gift this book to somebody, I might purposely gift it with sticky notes and highlighters, like, bitch, yep. You about to learn.
Yep. And shout out to the fact that it has pictures for y'all that like picture books.
Yes. No, it's so good because, like, I'm horrible at paying attention to the picture, but then I'll read, like, a little small excerpt, and then I'm looking like, oh no, this pictorial form or the thing next to it, like, this helped me understand what I just read. Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's a great resource, and I'm only just diving into, like, some of it. That was a little tangent, but I want to let y'all know, because as I opened the book to get ready, I was like, oh yeah, got my little flaggies sitting right here.
Yes. So you want to go ahead and get started with the oak?
Sure. So the Wine Folly article, this is one of their articles, it's from 2016. They have probably a ton of articles in very different with some of the similar information, but kind of like, or touching on different parts as far as oak barrels, but this is the one we chose, how oak barrels affect the taste of wine. So one of the things is, oak barrels, like the traditional way to age the wine, it's been like around for like forever. And before there were glass bottles, most wines were stored in wooden barrels. And we've kind of outgrown the necessity for barrels to store and transport wine, it's like we do it now, not out of necessity, more out of just kind of like that old world feeling, if you say it like that, you know, because winemaking is very much, a lot of this shit is like tradition. Mm-hmm. So oak barrels are an integral part of modern winemaking. So how do oak barrels help wine? So the three major components to wine, it adds flavor compounds, including aromas of vanilla, clove, smoke, and coconut. Number two, it allows the slow ingress of oxygen. So a process which makes wine taste smoother and less astringent. So when I think about the aging in oak barrels, I think about when you, when wineries are trying to figure out their taste, you know, at different levels of oxygen, getting to it, you know, they'll taste it at like different points in the aging process. And then number three, it provides a suitable environment for certain metabolic reactions to occur. So, it's a specific, who do I want to read this word? Malolactic fermentation. I think we mentioned that word early.
Yeah, we have.
Like early.
That's what makes it have like that creamy taste.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, shout out to me remembering that. We heard that word. So it provides a suitable environment for certain metabolic reactions to occur, specifically malolactic fermentation, which makes the wine taste creamier. We said before, some of the flavors, it says, what flavors does it add? Unlike beer, wine does not allow flavor additives. Thus, oak has become the accepted way to affect the taste of the wine. So a lot of times when we drink in beer as a comparison, you know, like they like adding stuff to like create these flavors. And, you know, like winemakers, like, that's not what we're doing. That's not what they're doing. They're trying to bring the flavors naturally from the grape with different temperatures and combinations, but we're not just launch it in it. That's probably, when I think about it, that's like some of the controversy surrounding when we was talking about like the chocolate wines. Because like to a traditionalist, it's like, it's no such thing as chocolate wine. You can't get chocolate flavor from a grape. So the oak has become the accepted way to affect the taste of the wine. When added to wine, oak flavors combine with wine flavors to create a variety of potential flavors. Flavor compounds from oak, furrow-dried fruit, burnt almond, burnt sugar, what the hell? Burnt overtone? How? Don't pardon me, y'all. I've been drinking this a little warm. Some burnt overtones, some oak lactone, woody, dill, and coconut notes, eugenial spices, cloves, and smoke character, vanilla. Oh, this is like the fancy words to describe like the vanilla and all that other stuff. So the differences of the new, So-So mentioned the differences of the new versus used oak and aging. And this is kind of like the difference between like, this is basically saying the difference between like, oh, like this barrel is freshly made versus like we used it the same ones last year. So just like tea, oak flavor extraction is reduced each time it is used. You'll notice that aging periods vary depending on the winemaker's preference as well as the type of wine. So here are a few classic aging regimen examples. So winemakers, maybe for Pinot Noir, it might age 10 months is used in French oak barrels. A California Chardonnay is 13 months in a 50% new French oak barrel. And I read, is it here in Wine Folly? It was a difference between, it was two. Let me see, but I flagged this real quick. Because they had the oak barrels, the French ones. Oh, so typically, let me back up a little bit. That's not in this article, but I looked. So the oak is typically either American or European. So American white oak grows in the eastern United States and is primarily used in the bourbon industry. Hmm. But American oak is known for adding flavors of coconut, vanilla, cedar, and dill. American oak tends to be dill. Mm-hmm. What? Which kind of, yeah, I was like, that one caught me off guard too. I was like, okay. And since American oak tends to be more loose grain, it's known to impart more robust flavors. And then European oak is primarily sourced in France and Hungary. And depending on where it's grown, it can range from medium grain to very fine grain. And European oak is known for adding flavors of vanilla, clove, allspice, and cedar. So kind of keep that in mind as you're going. If you taste some of those flavors, it might be American oak versus European oak. And so with the differences between a new versus an aging one, so you can even have like a brand new barrel made out of this either one of these oaks, and it could be one that has been used once or used 50% of the time. So let's see, Bordeaux. It's tend to be aged for 12 months in a 50% new French barrel oaks. And then, so that's just this article gives a couple of examples. So where did I hold up? I flagged here. Little cross-reference with the new versus the, oh, where my note going? I don't know if it references specifically in this article, but the new oak barrels impart more tannins in the wine than the used ones. So some of those ones with less tannins, like the barrel that it was aged in, just might not have been that old. I mean, just might have been a little older or whatever. And I guess it's it just depends on what the wine, you know, like what flavor the winemaker was going for. You know, which barrel they're using and shit. I'm like, but they can get out my face. I mean, I like a little hot pants sometimes. Sometimes, but not all the time. Ain't nobody got time for that all the time. Because ain't nobody face about to be puckering up and all of them shit.
I don't like
and, it. And this says, size matters. The larger the barrel used, the less oak lactones and oxygen are imparted into the wine, which makes sense. Barriques, which is basically the barrel, are traditionally 225 liters, whereas they just got different names. Bati and Fondres are much larger. So, you know, which makes sense. You know, some winery is looking for different flavors. They might use a bigger or a smaller barrel. Different kinds of oak used for winemaking. Oh, I skipped it here. It does mention this at the bottom of this article. So same thing with the American and the French, the American and the European ones. But just to add on to that, each species offers slightly different flavor profiles, and of course the climate can affect where the oak grows. So it's so funny, like it's so weird that all these things affect the wine. So most of the time we just think about the grapes, but not only just the barrel, like where, you know, if it's an oak barrel, it was a damn tree at one point. So what happened when that tree was living?
Right.
Like, so, you know, all those things can affect the wine. The climate for where the oak grows can affect the flavor. For example, wines aged in the American barrels, the French one will taste different from wines aged in, the European ones, it's like the French ones will be different than the one aged in Hungary, because it's like mountains and shit over in Hungary or whatever. I'm like, okay, get out here. The oak in America is normally found in Missouri in the Midwest. Oh, and some of the European ones in Hungary, France, and article says also Croatia.
Okay.
Difference between American and European. French oak. Oh, so it can be French oak. Well, that makes sense. It can be French oak, but, you know, European. Okay. So the European oak is typically, they say European, but it's mostly going to be France. France, first of all, France just dominate the whole world in all things wine, so that makes sense. The major distinguishable physical difference between a wine oak species is its density. Listen, this is some nerdy shit, because I know when you're drinking wine, you ain't even think about that, but it's cool to know. American oaks tend to be, European oaks tend to be more dense, closer spaced rings. Oh, that's like when you cut the tree open and you see those little rings on the inside. Oh, that's interesting. Which has been suggested to impart less oak lactones and oxygen than American oak. And generally speaking, American oak is ideal for bolder, more structured wines. Bam! I was about to say like our Cabernet. That's why we be liking Cabernets from California. And they can handle the American oak's robust flavor and oxygen ingress. Oh, I like the word oxygen ingress. Ooh. Whereas though, the European oak is ideal for lighter wines like a Pinot Noir or Chardonnay. Yeah, and don't forget, we say in barrels, but you're doing it with red or white wines. And that kind of made me think about the aging will often affect, you might not notice as much with the color of reds, but I read that the deep gold oak aging will often give a white wine a deeper golden hue due to this natural oxidation that happens while it goes through barrels. And you can kind of taste it if you pay attention, especially with your white wines. A lot of the lighter, more crisp white wines are, and we're going to talk about the stainless steel barrels, are aged, tend to be crisper when they aged in a stainless steel barrel. And this, I'm 100% sure the wine that I reviewed tonight, I noticed the color, and it was like this coppery, like real pretty, like deep color. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was definitely, like, aged in, like, somebody's, like, oak barrel somewhere. You ain't getting that flavor. Even though I ain't like it, you ain't getting that from the stainless steel. And they got some other woods, but most of the time we always talking about, for the most part, you probably not going to have no wine aged in nothing but, like, your old regular ass oak, no other kind of woods and stuff. So they, this article referenced a couple other ones, but we're going to act like we don't even see those. But their last word, only about 2 oak barrels can be made per oak tree, which takes several decades to grow. Additionally, the process of coppering the wood into barrels takes great skill. For this reason, the average price of a new wine barrel costs the winery about $600 to $1,200. This adds on about $2 to $4 in raw materials cost for a single bottle of wine. This is part, so this is probably going to play into the reason why, especially more New World people or winemakers are looking into alternatives. Kind of like when we mentioned when we talked about the actual cork, like save the trees. I know niggas like the traditional process of our traditional processes, but in this day and age, and I'm here in these here Americas with millennials and us consuming way more wine, to this is just like a personal aside, it kind of makes sense to like explore these other ways of doing shit, so we won't be out here killing the trees,
right?
As many trees, as much as we like the flavor, we ain't gotta kill as many trees. And one of the ways to cut costs that I noticed, I think it might, I'm not sure if it mentions it in the other article, is that some people are still using the stainless steel containers, but using oak chips to get the oak flavor versus aging it in the oak barrels itself. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm here for giving me flavor, character, theater, but possibly being a little bit more environmentally friendly.
I'm with the shits. If we can do that. I'm with the shits. I support that. You know what? We only got one earth. We don't want to fuck it up while we here. We want to actually leave something to our next generation.
While we out here being luscious and shit.
Right. So, you know what? You got to be, what is it called? Environmentally responsible.
Right.
Yeah. So, G covered the oak. I wonder why they don't make... I mean, you would think that you could use cherry wood maybe for barrels or something like that, but you know what?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the wine industry is just one of those where it's just like, no, this is the old way we're doing, this is the only way. But I love the fact that that's changing, because it's also changing is, it's not, you know, wine is, especially here in America now, it's not this more highfalutin, oh, we only got to do it this way type of thing, and kind of like boxing new ideas out of the industry. And I'm sure that technology and shit like that, and like the way it's kind of shrinking the earth is making people more accessible. It's like making the wine industry, hopefully they catch up with the new ideas and just ways of thinking and like sharing what the fuck, you know what I'm saying, you want to do.
Yeah.
So.
Completely understandable. And before I give into stainless, there is something from this particular article that I'm referencing from Crush Brew that I want to discuss about oak before I start talking about stainless. It says, wood is a fundamentally porous material by nature, and that means a liquid stored in oak will experience some degree of evaporation. This natural process contributes to the concentration of the wine, much like the way a chef reduces a sauce on the stovetop to intensify it with respect to both aroma and flavor.
That's a good way to, that's a good parallel to draw.
Yep. And then it says, all of these variables contribute to the results with a fuller and richer complexity and impressions that can only be achieved with fermenting and aging wine in oak barrels. So, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you start...
I get it. The flavor and the taste, you definitely understand it. Like, you can really taste the difference. Like, I might not know everything about this particular one, but you could taste the same cab from the same winery, but the next year, if they reuse the barrels, it's going to taste a little different.
Mm-hmm. It's going to taste a little bit different. So, that, I think that's pretty cool. But we are going to discuss stainless steel wine drums, and we're not talking about the steel drums that they bang on when you go to Jamaica. We talk about wine drums. And there's a lot of
I was about to clap because this paragraph said, first of all,
I know, right? First of all, bitch.
But go ahead.
There's various different reasons why people or winemakers use steel drums. The first reason is that steel drums are durable. They can be used over and over again, year after year, whereas the life of an oak barrel is between 2 and 3 years, and that depends on many factors. So because of this, and this means that the oak trees must be harvested regularly, like Dee said, which is leading to the destruction of our forests. And because wine is highly acidic, and that acid tends to erode the wood over time, which breaks it down. So that's why you can't just keep using it for like 5 or 10 years. It just ain't going to be effective. Mm-hmm. So it makes economic sense for wineries to replace the oak barrels with stainless steel barrels. So it's an economic advantage as well as it being more durable. Yep. The second is that it provides another advantage as they don't impart flavor specifically into the wine. So they're perfect for experimenting with exact flavors. With oak barrels, it's difficult to control the wine's exposure to air, and this exposure can alter the flavor of wine dramatically. Whereas with steel barrels, it allows you more control over your flavor. So I'm thinking, like, this is like when you get those wines, and year after year after year, they continue to taste the same. It's probably mm-hmm. because they use steel barrels, because you could control your results. So I think... Yeah, I kind of like
and it's
that.
Definitely, it's much benefit in it. Like, nigga, I want the wine that I want. Like,
yeah, I don't wanna go, yeah, one year I don't wanna buy it and love it, and then the next year I hate it because something has changed. No, I want it to taste the same. Of course, that's with some wine. You know, I do want some complexity, a little bit of difference in structure in, you know, your red wine. So when it comes to white wine, when I buy a Riesling, I want my 2013 Riesling to taste just like my 2017 Riesling. Don't play with me. Don't play with me or my money.
For that. I never realized that you just said it, that I'm probably more likely to want to switch it up with, like, the white wines. Like, maybe low experiment. Switch it up with the red wines. Like, experiment with the flavor, complexity, and the levels or whatever. But the white wine is like, bro, give me this Pinot Grigio the exact same way.
Okay. Every time. Shoot, I want to know that my finished product, if I'm using it as a base for sangria, I want to make sure that this going to give me the same sangria I had last time I made it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Shoot, especially if I'm being cheap with or expensive with my money. If I'm spending a lot, I want it to taste good. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to doctor it up. And then there is one more factor to consider. Stainless steel barrels are much easier to clean than oak barrels. They have a very smooth surface inside, so cleaning almost takes them no time. Oak barrels tend to get scratched on the inside, and the wine seeps into those scratches and lingers long after the wine is removed. And this means that
It's funny how you don't even really think of that, but it's like, oh yeah, this is some wood,
yeah.
My nigga.
Yeah, for real, wood chips, all that, yep. And so what that means is that the flavor of the next wine to be stored in that barrel will be influenced by the remnants of the wine that was aged in the barrel previously. And this can interfere with both the flavor and the quality of the wine. So when you use steel barrels, there are no wood notes present whatsoever. And so you're always going to get a crisp, fresh, and light finish. And the wine becomes more fruit forward. So for people like me, who like the fruity, the Teddy Jams and BBWs, you know, that might be, I might start looking for steel barreled wine because I like the fruit forward. I don't like the floral or the notes of bell pepper and chalk and butter and all that stuff. I don't like them dry joints. Give me that, girl, give me that. Give me that. Hey. Give me that fruit. Now, give me that fruit. Hey. Yeah, man. So I appreciate them stainless joints for more than just, you know, that. What is it? That it has a low, what is it, carbon footprint? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's the word. That's the word we've been looking for.
Yeah, I like that, you know, when you're purchasing a wine that may have been aged in a steel barrel, that you know what you're going to get. You know that you're going to get a fruit-forward wine. You know that it's going to be more eco-friendly. So I like, you know, being from California, I have a little bit of a hippie-ish nature. So I like that. But, you know what, sometimes I am looking for that, you know, that flavor and that texture that only a wine aged in oak can provide for you. So.
True that.
But I am sad that, you know, the barrels only last for 2 or 3 years. I thought you'd be able to use them.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that short. So it's like, it legit make you, like, as we learning more stuff, it's like, yeah, I love wine, but yeah, kind of like how I started to put more respect on a screw top. Like, bruh, we probably shouldn't even be, if we can still get the same flavors, we probably shouldn't be just wasting cork trees out here to make corks. I like corks. But yeah. So it's starting to make me put more respect on the stainless steel or whatever. Yeah. And more, environmentally friendly ways to get this, some of the same stuff, especially if it's going to be too many people on the planet. If it's going to be mass produced like that, back in the day when this shit was first happening, there wasn't all these people. When people, wine was more of a like a occasion and something special. Now niggas our age is just like, let me stop at the store on the way home and grab that bottle.
Right. And you know what, while I'm thinking of it, I wonder if there's a correlation between screw top wines and stainless steel barrels. I need to figure that out, because I'm like, I would be interested to see. And I wouldn't mind saving the screw tops if they were a little bit more creative with their, you know, packaging and their designs. I think we could figure out a way how to do that. You know, like people make like art and stuff with bottle caps. I'm sure we could do the same thing.
I'm about to say it's not much big of a difference between some of the bottle caps on beers. Like some of the ones with, it's just that it's going to have like that deeper, you know, like that deeper level. And I just happen to like have a screw top that was just kind of like hiding on my desk. I don't remember which one I opened, where this came from. But I'm like, hold up, where did I unscrew? But yeah, you know what I'm saying? You can get artists be artists for a reason. You can find some creative ways, some shit to do with the damn screw top.
Okay.
With the same way you do with bottle caps or whatever.
Yep. And also, you might want to check if there's a local winery near you. I know that, what you call it? The people that make Stella Rosa is about 20 minutes away from me. And they actually sell those wine barrels, so you could use them for decoration outside. I know people who have used them to plant plants in them.
I never thought of that. Don't let me fuck around. I don't have no space for a barrel, but I never thought of that. I will fuck around and be like, let me get the barrel.
Yeah, man. I'm like, you could like probably use that to make a coffee table if you like cut it in half and then put some glass on top of it. So I'm sure there's different projects.
I used to have it wasn't a barrel, but the same way I used to have a coffee table that was basically like one of them old just storage trunks. Mm-hmm. It was like real cute. But I could see like a barrel being in place of that.
Yeah, man. So, you know, you can help save the world. Oh, I see there's a fire pit. There's a fire pit that's made out of a wine barrel.
No, that's a lovely idea. I love a good fire pit.
Yep, I see a table. They have like put another like round piece of wood on top of the barrel, and it's used like as a table. So yeah, you could actually make seating out of it. I see there's one where they made like a wine chest.
Like a little bench or a little chest.
Yeah, so you know what? That sounds real cute. There's a lot of different usages for the barrel as well. So
get your Pinterest on. If y'all do some artistic shit, let us know.
Yeah, man, let us know. I am here for all the Pinterest and the crafting. So you know what? I support this.
All of it,
darling. All of it. Yeah. So unless you have anything else to add, that has pretty much been our discussion on aging.
Let me see real quick. I think it was a couple of random things I saw in the wine folly book. So remember when we were talking about evaluating a wine, and we talked about the smells and all that other good stuff and the different aromas, and we said the primary aroma, secondary aroma, and the tertiary aromas. I remember that word.
Yeah.
The tertiary aromas come from the aging and control interaction with the oxygen. So some of those that third level of aromas, for example, the nutty flavors nutty flavors in a vintage champagne and a sherry comes from all those years of aging, so that affects that. And then, you know, they might be a little bit too sweet for us, but we found this other word called Solera aging. Mm-hmm. So sherry wines employ a unique multi-vintage aging technique called Solera. Soleras are tiers of barrels with 3 to 9 steps called creadacea or scales. It's a fancy word for scales. So like a 4-scale Solera is like the little picture that it draws shows like 4 levels of barrels, and it's like one, I guess the wine goes from one barrel down to the second barrel down to the third, whatever. So new wine goes into the top scale and the finished wine is taken in small portions from the bottom scale. So the wine in quotes runs the scales. Ooh, like running jewels. wines run the scales for at least 3 years, but up to 50 years or more. There's also a rare vintage sherry that doesn't use the Solera. So I know when we talk about the sherry wines and some of the port wines who like they age them for a long time. I don't know why they doing that all that long time. Anybody got time to be making all that? So by the time you get the sherry wine in the stores, that shit could have been aging for 3 to 50 years in these different scales. Mm. Anybody got time? But I'm not drinking none of that. Most of the time, if you're using the sherry wine, it's probably for cooking or like a cooking sherry or something. Mm. But don't get it from the cooking section, y'all. If y'all going to cook with sherry wine, just go get regular wine.
Right. And sherry goes well with shallots. I did learn that.
Yes. Yes. But Solera, so but that process is used to like the showy ones, but it's called Solera aging. I thought that was cute. I was crude. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm done.
Okay. Let's see. You know what's funny? I was looking at this and I did see that there are excuse me, oak barrel alternatives. And mm-hmm. so they use oak chips or oak cubes or oak staves.
Yeah, like I mentioned the chips.
Yeah.
I saw the chips.
But they said that you could, when using those, they'll last for up to 100 years. So.
Oh. So I like the fact. So it's like we can have some kind of hybrid method. We can use like the stainless steel, but then you can just throw your oak chips in there to like still affect the flavor and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it just also says that after the first 2 to 3 uses, an oak barrel stops flavoring the wine, and it is considered neutral. But I don't know if I believe that based on all the other stuff that we learned today. Like, nah, how is it going to be neutral if there's still remnants? Affected. Yeah.
And I feel like it's still going to affect it. It might not be as potent,
mm-hmm.
but like you said, if it's scratching up and doing all this other stuff, it's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So what they trying to tell me, the wounds in the barrel heal?
Stop it. Oh gosh, I hate you.
I wonder if it affects the alcohol content, yeah. But I don't think that's the grape itself.
Yeah, but you know what, guys? Let us know if you've had stainless wine that's been aged in stainless steel, and let us know how you feel about it. Okay, hit us
I
up.
I have. Sometimes we do a tasting, and you like. Like you can tell some like certain wines you can like it's like so crisp it ain't got no damn oak ain't it's nothing smooth about it.
Okay,
so let us know.
Hey, there you go, let us know, hit us on the two-way.
Hit me on my two-way.
Hey, two-way. And you know what, speaking in two ways, that's a way of communication. So y'all, that breaks us to our, because y'all like to communicate with us sometimes and send us wine hotels. We have a wine hotel today, and it's not the typical way. Nobody wrote it in. They called in and left a voicemail. So shout out to y'all who are leaving us voicemails. We love it. If y'all want to leave us a voicemail, you can go ahead and call us at 818-639-2443. You have a 3-minute time limit. So... be brief. And shout out to our other wine ho who attempted to leave us a voicemail this week. Your voicemail cut off. We only got a minute of it, so we didn't get the whole story. So call us back, all right? You know who you is. But we are going to go ahead and play this one. Let me turn up the volume, pump up the bass, and let's get into this hopefully salacious.
I didn't listen to this one. Let me listen.
Okay. Pay attention. You got your popcorn, babe? Let's see, all right.
I'm gonna drink this water.
Here we go. Wine Hotel coming up.
Hey, ladies. This is Anissa calling in from 2 Black Millennials, and I'm calling in my hotel. So I am currently on lunch. So I'm trying to get this story in quick and easy as possible. So this happened around, I want to say, like 2 years ago. It was for my boyfriend's birthday, and we went to a reggae club. So you know anything about like reggae and soca music? It's a lot of gyrating. It's a lot of whining. It's very sexy. So I had to been like 5 or 6 drinks of Henny in. And I'm just looking at this nigga like, I want to fuck. Like, I want to fuck you. We about to get in. So I took him into like the woman's bathroom. It was empty at the time. And the nigga bent me over, and we just started getting it in. The crazy thing about it, midway through, I hear bitches walking in. So I stop for a moment. He's like, bitch, you don't get this shit together. Like, we gonna finish. So we ended up finishing. So he goes, you know, go out first, do what you gotta do, and I'm gonna follow you. So I'm like, okay, so I come out. Clearly, everyone that's in the bathroom knew we were fucking. So, like, the bitch was just giving me the same look, like, nasty, ho. I'm sitting there washing my hands, fixing my hair. I leave, and I'm like, all right, let me get my homegirl. We're going to try to get him out the bathroom so it doesn't look crazy. This nigga is in the bathroom
washing his hands slow as day, thick for himself, and he's just staring at him like, nigga, you don't have to get the fuck up out of here. But, yeah, so after that, we ended up leaving, and I think I, like, sucked him off in the cab on our way back home or something like that. It was crazy. Yeah, we were, like, fucking all night. But, yeah, so that's what happens when you drink Hennessy and you're at a record club. You end up getting pounded out in the bathroom. All right, ladies. Love you. See you later. Bye.
Yes. Another Hennessy tale.
That Henny dick.
Hey, this wine hotel was brought to you by the wonderful makers of Hennessy. Hennessy, the wine company, the alcohol company that gives you Henny dick and makes you fuck for hours.
Well. She did not disappoint. She did. She said, we know her. That's such a classic Anissa story.
Yes. Shout out to Anissa of Two Black Thank you, Lil. Yes. Yep. So, hey, man, have you ever had sex in a club after drinking too much wine or alcohol? De-Asia, I'm asking you.
I have not had sex in a club, no.
No, I have not either. I have not,
but, I mean, it just seems so gross. I'm not hating on it, I've seen niggas do it, but I'm like, I've wanted to have sex and then left the club so we could do it, but I was like, in the club, in the bathroom. Can't say that I have.
I remember a couple years ago, we went to a club, and there were people, they were, like, sitting on one of the couches inside the club, and they were having sex. I remember seeing that, because, like, his hand was in front of, and he was, like, fingering her, and she was sitting on his lap, gyrating. Ooh. I was like, it's only, like, 10 o'clock. What is y'all doing?
Damn. Niggas just got in.
Man, I was like, ooh, boy.
The niggas has paying, not even in yet.
Okay. Like, y'all got in free just to do this? Y'all couldn't do it at home?
Jesus. Y'all could pull up the partition and just turn around or stay in the car?
Man, yeah. I think I would say that's the wildest thing I've seen in the club, but no, I remember going, there used to be a club out here called Coconut Teasers, which was in Hollywood, and in the stall, there was, like, a toilet, but there was also a seat, and I remember opening the door, and there was, like, two girls doing coke in the bathroom. That was, like, that was the wildest thing I saw.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like,
go ahead and do that coke, why don't you?
I was like, first of all, why is there a chair in the bathroom next to the toilet, and y'all hoes is just doing, okay, well, okay.
Now, I don't think I've seen
that. No. But yeah, thank you again for that wonderful wine hotel. Emphasis on the hoe this time. And you know what?
She emphasized the hoe.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I had some Henny dicks, but I ain't never, not in the club.
I don't think I've ever had it. I've never messed with anybody that drank Hennessy.
I'm a hood rat from Baltimore, so of course I've had niggas from Baltimore, and it's nothing like a West Baltimore nigga that like that Hennessy.
Somebody told me they like Hennessy. I'm like immediately like, I don't know about you. I don't know.
I ain't had time to even think that because I just grew up on something like, oh, this these niggas is drinking. Now I will be like, shout out to the homie Will. He didn't I forgot what he discovered. Bourbon, something he discovered. He talked about he leaving Hennessy alone. I'm like, nigga, your bitch should have left it alone. It's really not that good.
Okay, there's so much better cognac. Shout out to the Douce
it's
niggas.
So much better.
Shout out to the niggas that drink Douce or Remy or Mercure. Or
Douce is so good. My little brother bought me Douce for my birthday.
Yeah. Shout out to little brother. Brother.
Yeah, I gotta raise these kids right. Can't have my little brother out here giving Henny dick. He need to give the Douce dick if that's what he doing.
Right. I need to find out what the Douce. Hey, baby, if you listen, I'm going to get you some Douce so I can see what that Douce dick hitting for, okay? I'm just saying, though. I love you. I'll holler at you later.
This part of this show has been brought to you by Food Before Love. Food Before Love is a platform that celebrates food in all its many forms in cities across the globe. Visit our website, www.badandbouziepod.com, select menu, and click Food Before Love. Check out their selection of pins, clutches, coin purses, and other accessories. Cop a few things for your next brunch, wine date, or a trip to a festival to support the podcast. Food before love, because food is a love language.
So, yeah. After wine hotels, you already know, comes my favorite part, and I've been batting 200, 100 lately.
No, you should get this one.
Wine trivia question of the week. So, DeAsia, what is the trivia question?
I just looked at the answers and I realized I'm going to be upset if you don't get the question right.
Man, does it have to do with aging? That's what I want to know.
It doesn't. I was looking for one, but I ain't see one. Eventually I'm gonna have to get off my cards and scour the internet for new soil.
Hey.
But I'm gonna go through these cards first because I kind of like these and put a good use of this gift. The fun fact: the wine trivia questions that I'm using was like a gift that a friend got me. Like I told you, a friend just buy me shit that's related to wine, and it was hanging out like after Christmas one year, and she was like, "Oh, I grabbed you something." She just saw this little wine trivia, these little wine cards was on sale. She just gave them to me. Now I got a reason to use them with you guys. But so this one is specific to the grape. And the question is, if you want a white wine with citrus flavor that is not buttery, which would be the most likely choice? Now, I like the question, and I look at the answers, and I was like, this is like a dead giveaway. But that's cool. If you wine hoes get it wrong, you stupids too. It's like, no. A, Merlot.
No.
B, Sauvignon Blanc. C, Chardonnay. D, Sangiovese.
I mean, that's obvious. Sauvignon Blanc, bruh.
Exactly. I had picked the question before I didn't read the multiple choice, but I was like, I read it like, well, that's obvious. It's Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
Damn. That was an easy one, my niggas. Let's see what the answer say. Sauvignon Blanc. So the answer is B. Hold on, I forgot to go. So B. Sauvignon Blanc typically has high acid and citrus and gooseberry flavors.
Gooseberry?
Some of the better gooseberry. Hold up. Every time I say gooseberry, I think about Miss Penny saying that Wes from How to Get Away with
Murder.
She called him Goose Neck.
No, not my baby.
But because she said, Annette Obama daughter got a gooseneck. See, that's a long neck ass kid.
Shut up. Oh, my God. But you know what? Since you brought Scandal up, can we all write a letter to Shonda Rhimes and let her know we need more than 8 episodes for a season?
Today.
No, I'm talking about for How to Get Away with Murder. We need a full season. I don't need no 8-13 episodes. I need 20 episodes.
I about to say, How to Get Away with Murder ended mad early.
Yeah.
They been dragging into April.
I'm saying they could have. They could have. They never
what,
do.
What Viola doing?
I need a full season, y'all. Murder is too good not to give me a full
Murder
season.
Murder is too good. Murder is too good.
I be yelling at the screen every episode. But we was talking about, you was getting ready to say you saw Scandal. It's Scandal.
Oh, yeah. No, because once I saw mentioning that, I thought about, like, I did catch up on Scandal today.
Jake
and
tripping.
I was like, oh, look at them leaving us with, look at them trying to leave us on a high note.
And shout out.
Like them again, because it was good.
Shout out to Sally Langston. Making it okay.
Yo, I text Miss Penny today, like, Sally is showing up.
Lovers of liberty. I love Sally.
I was here for, like, I always, like her character, even though she's batshit crazy, mm-hmm. But I really, the day was like, oh, it didn't take for the show to be about to leave for me to realize how much I like Sally.
Man. And you know what, 20? Even this go round, I'm not mad at Fitz and Olivia getting it back in together. I'm not mad, man. I mean, Fitz is fine, first of all. Let's just start there. And there's a picture of Fitz floating around on the internet. I don't know if you've seen him. He's leaning against the desk, and you can see what he's working with. Fitz is packing, hunty. Fitz is packing. So
I wonder what he looked like with a little bit of little stubble, a little facial hair. Just a little bit. I wonder what he looked like if he let his face fade grow.
And
a little
also,
bit. Now, I might.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I might not be able to survive if he's looking good out here with facial hair. I'd be Olivia Pope out this bitch.
Okay, and then also, Fitz comes from money, honey. He is a gold one, like MGM Pictures, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Fitz got money. So Fitz is a cat.
He got that one.
I don't care if he was a killer in Ghost, okay? I done forgave him. Yes!
I don't be known.
That's why they used to call him President Ghost. But it don't matter, man. He killed Patrick Swayze in Ghost. Spoiler alert.
Listen. I've seen Ghost. I don't remember that much details, but I've seen
all it. I remember from Ghost is that scene where she said, Molly, you in danger, girl. And when they was making the thing.
Molly, you in danger, girl.
And when they was making a vase with the clay. And then at the end, when Fitz got. When all the little weird things came out.
I remember the Molly, you in danger, girl, because a show I used to listen to on Sirius XM used to use that as a sound drop.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little drop.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted some of those damn. Anyway, back to my reading the question on my trivia card. That was a random tangent, but it was good. Y'all love us.
Yes. Fuck it.
Some of the better known producing areas for the Chris style of Sangiovese are New Zealand.
Sangiovese or Sauvignon Blanc?
Oh, did I say Sangiovese?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my bad. I meant Sauvignon Blanc. See, I told y'all I saw it like that Sangiovese, so it was in my head. But it's Sauvignon Blanc is the answer to this question. And the other region is, New Zealand and Sancerre in the Loire Valley.
Loire.
I like a good Loire. I be saying, one day I say Loire and I be like, is that right? And I be like, Loire.
Loire.
Like, Loire.
In the low valley, in the low valley.
In the low valley.
Way down in the hole.
Is that The Wire?
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of another random tangent before we started recording, I was catching up on Viceland and Marlo Stanfield was on Viceland this week.
I
don't know the actor's real name, but he's Marlo Stanfield.
What's it called? I was watching it this week too. Michael Case Williams or something like that. He had that show talking about people who are broke.
Omar?
Yeah. No, not Omar. Whoever.
Michael K. Williams?
Yeah.
That is Omar.
Okay. Girl, you know I ain't seen The Wire. I've seen like 3 episodes.
No, oh, you gotta watch that one. It's so good.
I know people said it's good, but I can't find it to just binge watch it. I don't have HBO. I ain't gonna have HBO neither until Insecure come back on. Then we can talk about it. Ooh, this summer gonna be lit. Insecure, Power coming back.
I'm about to say Power come back July the 1st.
Ooh, and that son better die. I hate Tariq. Death to Tariq.
Oh my God, dude. We might need to do some Uncorked TV on one of these.
Okay. We do.
Yeah. We might have to think about it.
Yep.
Off air.
Yep.
Because I'll be here for it.
Yeah.
I'll be here for it.
But you know what? We could do these tangents. You know why? Because we're wrapping up the show, man. This is tangent time, okay? This is why you listen to us. Don't act like you don't know. Don't act unfamiliar.
It's the wine. Blame it on the wine.
Blame it on the wine. Blame it on... You didn't tell us what your percentage was, beloved.
I did.
And shout out to OWN TV for not allowing me to access the app, so I can't even catch up on Iyanla Fix My Life if I wanted to. They play a ball-headed game.
I wanted to catch up on Iyanla because niggas told me that Trina Braxton was on
there. Yes, I'm trying to see it. Because Gabe ain't shit, bro.
Trina Braxton on there.
Gabe ain't shit. I hate... Ooh, her husband get on my nerves. Like, you really cheated on her.
And Penny told me that she was that the whole time they've been broken up, but they were thinking they broken up, and he was living in a second house or some shit.
Girl.
And I didn't even know that.
First of all, the thing that cracks me up about Trina is she talks like she's from California. She talks like this, and I'm like, girl, bye. You did.
It's so weird. I'm like, how did all that family come from this area? And you don't sound like, how you don't sound like you from Baltimore, D.C., Maryland, nothing?
She's like, the only one that sounds like that. Tracy sounds like she's from the hood, though.
Now, Tracy, when you really lit, like, her accent might not be as thick as mine, but when she talk, I'd be like, oh, no, Tracy is definitely Baltimore.
P-E to the T-T-Y. That's Tracy. Talk about that. Tracy got an accent. Tawanda got a little accent. She tried to clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, they be trying to clean it up.
Tamar, for sure, got an accent. But Trina really be trying to act like she's not from the hood. I'm like, Trina, we know you, sis.
I'd be like, where it come from? I'd be like, it's so weird. How she talk like that?
I don't even know. But she got that company, Bar Chicks. I need to look it up and see if she still got that company or not. But I need to watch her Fix My Life.
I don't know.
But anyway, y'all. Y'all know where you can find us. You can find us at badandbluesypodcast.com. That's when we need to upload our update our blog since it's spring. Spring has sprung. There's other topics that we need to discuss. I already gave y'all the voicemail, but if you want like it again, here you go. 818-639-2443. Also, we have Teespring, which we have our lovely t-shirts and tote bags and mugs. Go ahead and purchase it, because when you make a purchase, it helps to keep our podcast free 99. We also have PayPal. So if you want us to continue to review these wines to sip or spit, send us some money. PayPal.me/badandboozy, y'all. Bad and Boozy Pod, excuse me. We are underneath the umbrella of CSPN Media. There is a wide variety of shows that we are on the network with. And if you want to see more about us and those other shows, go to www.cspn.us. If you would like to donate to us in another way to keep our podcast free, you just want to donate on a monthly basis. You donate as little as $12 a year, y'all. That's a dollar a month. You can go to patreon.com/CSPN Media. As far as social media, you can find our podcast everywhere. We are at Bad and Boozy Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we do tweet fairly often. We tweet every day, y'all. So we out here in these streets.
We'll be out here.
For me, myself, and I, you can find us at on Instagram and Twitter at Fab Fresh and Fly. DeAsia, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitters and Instagram at Brains and Buns. That's the letter N. Under the same name on Delectable, I've been out here reviewing these bottles of wine as I've been opening them and having a little fun with my reviews. Shout out to the wine pros that have been commenting on my shit.
Yes, shout out to the people who are following us on Delectable. I saw today I had a slew of new followers. So you know what? I followed all y'all back. Mm-hmm. We are trying to build our little community so the brand can remain strong. So keep using your Delectable, keep scanning those labels, keep writing reviews. And when you write reviews, because someone mentioned today that, you know what, I finally downloaded Delectable, but I don't know what to say. My best advice to you is if you're struggling with writing your reviews, just say what it smells like, what it tastes like, what it looks like, and if you like it or not. I mean, that you don't have to use wine terminology. You don't have to get super fancy with your words. Just say it with your chest. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, because half the time, we're not no trained sommelier. So, a sommelier can be like, oh, I taste notes of this, this, and this. Sometimes I might notice some shit. Sometimes I just be like, this make me feel good.
Okay.
And it's like, whatever it is. Like, just write it down.
Man, all we need you to do is tell us, how does it feel? How does it feel? Where is D'Angelo from? Now that I think about it,
I think the Richmond, Virginia
area. Yeah. He's from VA. Yeah. Shout out to our VA niggas. What's popping?
What's popping?
Yep. Oh, and places that you can find the podcast. You can find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, go ahead.
I forgot to update the notes and add in to remind us to if we was mentioning an affiliate on this part too.
No, we don't mention it because we have a commercial, remember?
Oh, I'll be forgetting. I know we was on both, because I know what one episode we did it both times.
I think that's the first time we talked about it, but
works for me.
Yes, but we're on iTunes, and on iTunes you could do us a solid by leaving us a review. And this week we have a review, y'all. And we're gonna go ahead and read the review. We're at 25 reviews, y'all, and we're at 5 stars. So help us maintain our 5-star average. We have 2 reviews, one by PT LeChance, and then we have another one by Durango Doug. And Durango Doug says, great podcast with great people. I've always been a dark liquor man, but I'm enjoying learning about the wine and cheese pairs. So thank you for leaving us that review. We really appreciate it, y'all. And y'all keep the reviews coming. This is how people find out about us. So you know what?
Yeah, share the show and all that.
Yeah. You know, if we've changed your wine drinking experience or open your mind a little bit about wine in any way, shape, or form, you know what, just hop on there and just leave us a review. Say, you know what, you like the show and you know what? We helped you try a different wine, or we expand your mind past Moscato, or we gave you some information about aging and the difference between stainless and oak. Whatever the case may be, we love seeing what you guys got to say. So, you know what? Continue to put some respect on our podcast by giving us those reviews. We love all y'all. Y'all haven't given us a reason not to love y'all, so I don't have to exclude anybody yet. I know, right? Thank you guys for continuing to listen, to continue to support, using the hashtag, sharing with your friends. And thank you to our new listeners who are listening as well. I noticed we got some more follows on the Twitter lately.
We've been getting a couple of new listeners and sharing stuff.
Yeah, so shout out to all of y'all doing the Lord's work. We really appreciate it. Is there anything else we need to mention while we're settling the tab, or is that all?
I think that's
all. De'Asia is going to be, if you're in the D.C. area, she's going to be at, what is it, Universal FanCon at the end of the month.
Yeah, on April the 28th. Saturday, April the 28th, I will be at Universal FanCon, hopefully meeting up with our head honcho Classic while I'm there. So if any listeners happen to be in town or going to the festival that Saturday, let me know. I don't know shit about most of the stuff that's happening, so I'm here to meet up with niggas and figure it out. It's in Baltimore, it's my hometown, the convention center, so I'm pretty knowledgeable of the area, whatever. I'm looking for some shenanigans. Yep. Get some drinks or something afterwards.
Yep, so look for D, put some respect on her name, put some money in her pocket, all that stuff. So y'all know me, I don't like people, so y'all ain't gonna catch me out of these streets. If y'all do, it's by sheer happenstance. So don't run up on me unless you want to get done up. I'm just saying, because I keep some on me, okay? I keep some tucked. I ain't saying what it is. Man, I'm just saying, run up, you're gonna get done up. That's it, that's all.
Oh my God.
Buzz, you might feel a shock. You might feel some voltage, you know what I'm saying? Wait, like they said in Regulators, you got to be heavy on the street. You got to be heavy with the steel. What did he say? Dang, I can't remember.
Don't give me the line. You know, I don't be known.
Dang. Oh, man, my memory escapes me. Blame it on this 9% cupcake line. But anyway, y'all, thank you for listening to the Jordan episode. We appreciate it. And as always, the best wine
is the one you like.
Bye.
Right.